In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, welcome to worship at Providence Presbyterian Church on this rainy Labor Day weekend day. We're glad that you're here. We particularly would like to welcome those who might be visiting with us for the first time this Sunday, and we hope that everyone will take time to sign the welcome pads that you'll find at the inside pew and pass them down the pew so that you may greet one another by name following the worship service. Please share any information about email contact information or phone number if you would like us to contact you. Our September-October newsletter, thanks to Lee Vanderbon, has gone out this morning via email to hopefully those of you who want to receive it by email. If you would like to change your preferences, you may note that on the welcome pads as well. And the print versions will be coming out in the mail later this week. We invite everyone to a time of fellowship in the Hope Room following the worship service immediately behind the sanctuary as we join together in fellowship and greet one another personally. We are coming to the end of our supply of welcome loaves for new visitors that are with us. So if you are one of our bakers in the congregation and would like to bake some welcome loaves that we may share with others, please we could use them, and we do have enough for today to greet our visitors, I believe. Our chancel choir will begin rehearsing next Sunday in preparation for the 15th, and next Sunday is our church school kickoff, and I think that Gina has some announcements around that for us.
Next Sunday is our Sunday school kickoff for children ages 3 through 6th grade, and we actually have a registration form for any new families who would like to register your child for Sunday school programs in preschool through high school. That will be available during the coffee hour after worship on next Sunday. And for those of you who'd like to get a jump start on it and fill it out beforehand, the form is available online on our website. And also, I have some paper copies with me today, so if you'd like to take one home today and fill it out, come see me during coffee hour today. With that, we are still in need of a few assistants for some of our Sunday school classrooms, so if any of you are interested in helping out in the classroom, there is no teaching experience required. If you just love being around kids of all ages and helping out in the class, please see me during coffee hour as well. And I'm going to switch gears as well. Wanted to ask for some help with moving this afternoon. If anyone is available, one of our college students, Beatrice, is, you want to stand up, Beatrice? She'd like some help moving some of her things very close by. She lives over on Ive Street and is moving to, what street are you? Orchard Street. So very close. If any of you are available to help out at 2 o'clock this afternoon, please see myself or Beatrice during coffee hour today. Thank you.
And we will be commissioning church school teachers next Sunday during worship. So teachers, please make an effort to be here so that you might see just how many people it takes to nurture the 60 children that are associated with this church.
And also to add on to Sunday school, the middle school will be meeting next Sunday. That's grades 6 through 8, the second and the fourth Sunday of each month. And I also have another announcement about the youth. Our annual youth pool party will be this coming Friday, September 6th, from 6 to 8 p.m., and that's for all youth grades 6 through 12. So pizza will be provided. We hope you'll all be able to come. Thanks.
And if you need a ride from the church, please let me know, because I'll be helping to coordinate transportation from here over to the pool in Lincoln where the Chans are hosting us.
Okay. We are in need of lay readers for our services, and so I'll be coming around, but if you want to get to me first, that's fine. Some of you often do it, but I see a lot of faces out there that have never been up front. It's very easy, and you may like it.
And There is a sign-up sheet for that in the Hope Room, and we do provide written instructions for those of you who would like to know what's happening when.
Yeah, Julie's announcement reminded me that also I need volunteers to help with coffee hour. So, also very easy, and I'm sure you'll like it. So either see me or sign up in the Hope Room.
We're getting organized for the fall around here.
Many of you know that I work with InterVarsity's graduate and faculty ministries and the Christian Fellowship for Graduate and Medical Students at Brown is starting up. So if any of you are new grad or med students or residents or faculty, I would love to meet you. And we are having our kickoff barbecue this coming Saturday from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. at my house. So if you're a grad student or a med student or a faculty, I'd love to give you an invitation. And then if any of you in the congregation would like to or be interested in helping us with food, please let me know. Thanks.
I am excited because I am going to, with the help of Juliet Chan and a couple of other people, be leading a year-long confirmation program for youth between 8th grade and 12th grade. So those of you out there who are or know kids in that age group, talk to Juliet or talk to me. We'd love to get you on board. There will be a parents' meeting after worship on the 15th. Where we'll hand out a schedule and hopefully answer a lot of your questions. But if you have questions before then, please see one of us. Also know that the program begins with what I'm calling a mandatory retreat. So if you want to be part of this, if you want your son or daughter to be part of this, know that they need to plan to retreat with us September 21st and 22nd.
Any other announcements? The writer of Hebrews proclaims Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let us boldly then proclaim our faith as we come together to worship God.
Thank you.
If we say we are without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Yet through Christ, our sins are washed new, and we are forgiven and freed as we turn to Christ in a spirit of repentance. So let us pray into that promise, first in silence, then confessing our sins together as we pray the unison prayer of confession in our bulletin. Together we pray, merciful God, forgive us, for we exalt ourselves and mock the humble. We choose to believe we are self-sufficient rather than trust in your strength. Open us to your spirit, that we might serve all people without regard to the outcome, devoting ourselves to your honor alone. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us continue in a spirit of confession as we sing our song of confession, Bind Us Together, number 2226, as we remain seated using this small hymnal. The grace of our Lord is sufficient for our every weakness. It is new every morning. Friends, believe this good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.
My heart, Lord Jesus. Jesus, coming today, coming always, come out of my heart, Lord Jesus. Missia ye is a no one for my neck. Osa ye yo, nana nyamia tia wa ye ya. Osa ye yo, wafamana. Misio ayas nasi, seno mufamane. Osa nasi yo, nana nyamia tia wa ye ya. Osa nasi yo, mufamana. Osa nasi, minana nyamia osa nasi yo. Minana nyamia asya wa ye ya, osena siye, he nasi seno wafamana, osena siyo, nana nyamia atya wa ye ya, osena siyo wafamana, haye yi seno mufamana, osaye yo, nana nyamia atya wa ye ya, osena siya, mufamanan. Amen.
One of the privileges of being part of this community is that we pray for one another. And we come to the time in our service now where we can share our joys and concerns with our sisters and brothers in this place. So where are we this morning? What will we pray about together?
This morning I'd like us to pray for those among us who struggle with alcoholism and drug addiction. I know that this is a holiday weekend, and there are going to be lots of parties. And remember, don't be a pusher.
For those who struggle with addiction.
I would ask that we pray for our nation's leaders as we seem to be rushing into another war before we've extracted ourselves from the two that we're in. I would also ask us on this Labor Day weekend to reflect on how much of our nation was built on the back of slave labor and how our industrial revolution was built on the back largely of child labor.
Care for the least and the lost, and care in thinking about how we lead this country.
My mom had a rough week. She was back in the hospital this week with a collapsed lung. They did a bronchoscopy. Is that how you say it? I don't remember. I don't know how to say these things. Anyway, her lung does seem to be functioning again, but she'll be in another day or two probably. So continued prayers for my parents and my sisters and I, and wisdom on how best to move forward if it's time for her to go to somewhere with more nursing assistance or if they can continue to function more independently. Thank you. Her name is Irma.
Some of you may know that I traveled back to Pennsylvania to visit my family this past week, and while I was there, my grandfather, who's 96, was hospitalized for what they believe to be a mild heart attack. He's fine. He's 96. He's very strong. But just prayers for him for continued strength. He has a blocked carotid artery that he has a stent in that I guess is causing more problems, and they don't want to go in there because of his age and that the invasiveness of the surgery could be more risky for him than just kind of leaving it alone. So just prayers for him. And also prayers for my husband, who started a new job this week. Very excited. It's going very, very well. It's only a 2-year position, but it's at Pawtucket, at Tolman High School in Pawtucket, very close to home. So we're very grateful for this opportunity, but also hope that it leads to something a little bit better for him as he's looking for an assistant principal or principal position in the future. Thank you. Grandfather's name is Leroy Marburger.
I didn't make this announcement last Sunday, but last Saturday, Nancy Collins, who was a member of this congregation, but who is serving as a missionary in East Africa for the Presbyterian Church, was here. And so it was just a joy to have her come and visit and to be able to learn more about the work that she's doing. We heard a lot more about her work with the Chisefu Theological Seminary. And so just prayers as she heads back to East Africa and prayers for her work and prayers for all missionaries around the world. But also prayers for our church and for our presbytery as we continue to work on supporting the Chisefu Theological Seminary over the next few years as they go through a capital campaign.
Get there. Coming around.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I tell God, thank you to be here this morning. Tell God, thank you to wake every one of them, all we worshiping here today. I praise him, I magnify, I tell Pastor, thank you, and church, members, choir, sisters and brothers, I tell everybody, thank you for your prayer, for your support. I tell my Father, thank you, through him, and the power in making me stand up here today. Nobody power. I surrender myself for him again. Because I go in my coming, or he coming from him. Yeah, he the healer. He our Father. He know everything. We cannot turn it to him, to give him our heart, to do the best for us. The whole world upside down. But we cannot call him. He the merciful God, he can face it. We can't face it by ourselves. We call him day and night. Let her mercy upon us, because we are children. When I say, oh, Father, someone is children, we all will perish. Hallelujah. So we're supposed to tell that man, thank you every day. To ask him for mercy. Let forgive us. Let his favor cover all, always. Hallelujah. Because the thing we're coming in the way, we cannot beg our Father. He get everybody here. You wake up this morning, he wake up you. You not wake up by your power. Hallelujah. So let we praise that man day and night. We beg him. Let forgive all the people what they're doing the thing, what they're not supposed to do. Hallelujah. Let God forgive us. Because they know where we're coming from. We're coming from way up. Where the war started, where we'll go. Where bush we have ourselves. We don't get nowhere. All such water. Where we have ourselves. Let God take a control for everything. Because he get us. We beg him. We don't know what we're doing. Let have mercy, Father. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you.
Join us in praising the Lord because we've been granted the approval to continue with the adoption. We got the government a response this week, and it will take a couple more months, but let's thank God together. Yeah. I did not want Ashley to know because I thought she would think it's tomorrow we are coming for her. But she got to learn about it, and she's saying, are you coming next weekend? Are you coming tomorrow? So pray for us that by December she will be here and join us. Thank you.
So I'd like to ask prayers. I have some students that are, I guess they're starting this week, going in to teach in the prison. And so just prayers for them.
I just want to ask prayers for our young boys and girls. Every time I put on the television, a young boy is dead or somebody shoots somebody. Because of that, I don't like watching the news at all. Let's ask prayers for them, that God may grant them wisdom, that they think before they act, and know that they're just throwing their life away. So please, let's pray for them.
Absolutely. I think
think I have a long list today. A while back, I asked you to pray for our Synod Stated Clerk, David Mears, who is battling cancer. I talked with him this week, and he's having a treatment on September 9th, and the next day he goes to the Permanent Judicial Commission hearing. So I ask for prayers, continued prayers for him. And also like continued prayers for Walter Mason and Walter's son, Richard. But also I'd like prayers for me in the next few weeks. I will be, thanks to Jenny here, I will be reading ordination exams. And so I ask for God's guidance and I ask your prayers in that, as I prepare for that and as I read the exams, that I do God's will.
Thank you. Again, I'd like to hold in prayer everyone who's undergoing extreme weather all across the nation. Now we're getting into very poor air quality from people far away from the fires out in the west. And to kind of echo what Glenn was saying, this happened yesterday and I missed it. I heard it this morning on the news that after much reflection, President Obama has decided to consult with Congress before he takes any action in Syria. So there will be no bombing right away, and we don't know where this road will lead, probably a lot of contention, but I don't know. I just, prayers for everyone in Syria and for our government, and thanks be to God that we live in a country that does not poison its people.
For all the innocent everywhere that find themselves in harm's way.
We would love your prayers for InterVarsity's graduate and medical student Christian Fellowship as we're starting up again, and especially for new grad and med students. And we could also pray for college students, freshmen who are, I think, just moved in yesterday at Brown and are coming into the other colleges in the city and the state, and we can pray for them as well.
Prayers for my little friend Gabe, who is 5 years old. I'm his nanny, and he's very sick right now, facing probably 4 to 6 weeks of recovery, just as he's starting kindergarten.
For Gabe. Where else are we?
I'd like to offer up prayers, too, for Jackie Cooper, who was hospitalized this week and is now in a couple of weeks of rehab. So please keep Jackie in your prayers as she continues to rebuild strength after this hospitalization. Let us pray. We belong to you, for you are our God, maker of heaven and all places on earth. Gather our hearts and minds as we turn to you in this time of prayer for our community and for those we know, and for a world in need of your wisdom, grace, love, justice, and peace. We pray for all corners of the Middle East in these days, for Syria, for Egypt, for those who are in positions of decision-making amidst horrific choices. We pray for all those who have lost loved ones and who stand in fear of these days, in the midst of uncertainties of life and death, seemingly so far out of their control. Help us, O Lord, in this time, this long weekend time, to reflect on the need for wisdom, to pray for our leaders, to remember the sacrifices that have been made for this country, to lift up in prayer those places that are experiencing extreme distress in our cities, in our youth and young people. We pray for wisdom. We pray for those places that are facing extreme weather. We pray for our presbytery this day, for the ministries of the Korean Presbyterian Church of Greater Hartford and their pastor, Sungil Kim, for Heather Wright and John Webster and Ed Brooks and Bruce Insee, for healing and strength for David Mears. We lift in prayer those in need in this community for your healing and guiding hand, for Jackie Cooper, for Joanne Neviliot, for all those who struggle with the temptations and the realities of drug and alcohol addiction, for Jo and her parents and her sister and brother in this time seeking wisdom in her mother's illness, for Leroy, for Walter, Mason, Richard, Gabe, for Jen and Ken. We give thanks, O God, this day that even as we bring these many prayers of concerns of our hearts and needs for healing, we also bring our joys. We give thanks for long-awaited answered prayers to the Kago and Mercuri families as they prepare to welcome Ashley and make it through this big hurdle. We pray, O Lord, for those who are excited about the return to school and the opportunities that are before them, for the ministries that reach out to our college students, our grad students, for those who are starting new adventures of teaching in the prisons who have answered that call to ministry, we give you thanks. We pray for those who are celebrating new jobs and opportunities. We pray for David. We pray for Nancy Collins and her continuing work in East Africa, for Beatrice's presence here with us, Auntie Beatrice's presence in worship, for the healing she has experienced and for the opportunity to gather with us at your table. We pray, O Lord, in strength for those who are facing new opportunities ahead for them, for Judy as she reads ordination exams. And we lift in prayer this day all those who grieve the losses of loved ones near and far off. As we come again, O Lord, this day to gather at this table as friends, community, and strangers among one another, remind us again that it is by your power that we live. Guide us into this fall of learning and growing through this transition time in thanksgiving for the gifts of so many in leadership of this place. In the joy of discovering what it means to live your message in the world, whatever our age or state of life. All these things, O Lord, we would pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our children are excused to go downstairs for childcare. That's ages 3 through 3rd grade, and the family room is available as people need it this morning. Please remember as you, if you're in the family room, that you need to come down for communion this morning if you are interested in partaking of it.
The Old Testament this morning is from Psalm 81, verses 1 and then 10 through 16. It can be found on page 512 in your pew Bible and 666 in the large print Bible or on the screen. Sing aloud to God our strength. Shout for joy to the God of Jacob. I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. Then I would quickly subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. Those who hate the Lord would cringe before him, and their doom would last forever. I would feed you with the finest of the wheat, and with honey from the rock I would satisfy you. The New Testament lesson is from Luke, chapter 14, verses 1 and 7 through 14, found on page 72 in your pew Bible, 94 in the large print, and on the screen. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place." And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Please be seated. It might just be me, because I'm always getting introduced at cocktail parties as the pastor, the wife of the CEO. People say to me, "What's the point of being part of a church?" Have you ever heard that? Anybody ever asked you? Why do you show up on Sunday mornings or Tuesday nights? What is the purpose of the church? For Presbyterians, the answer in part is found in the Book of Order under the heading, "The Great Ends of the Church." Among the items listed there, Pastor Chris has talked about some over the past few weeks, but also is listed the shelter, nurture, and spiritual fellowship of the children of God. So part of our purpose as the church is to protect, to encourage flourishing, and to build spiritual connections. Maybe that's why you're here today, to be cared for, to be connected to the people of God. It's a tall order: protection, care, connection. And yet, that is what we, as the body of Christ in this place, are called to do. So if you know me, you know that I'm always going to ask a question, right? Here's your question for the morning. Do we provide protection, care, and connection in meaningful ways to those who enter our doors? Big question. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, may your word spoken and heard be a blessing to us today. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Before I talk about what Jesus had to say in the Gospel of Luke, I want you to take a look at this image. This is an artist's depiction of the heavenly banquet. Notice who's at that table. What's on the table? What is the shape of that table? There is no hierarchy here. We can leave it there for a few minutes while I talk to you about Luke's gospel. Luke has a lot to say about eating and about tables and about table fellowship and about who should be present and how the table should be. In Luke's gospel, Jesus eats with all kinds of people. And as the gospel progresses, Luke moves from talking about dinner tables to talking about a final supper that Jesus shared with his disciples, to talking about the heavenly banquet, the meal that all will share in the kingdom of God. This is one image of that heavenly banquet. Today's gospel lesson describes Jesus in the midst of a teachable moment. Jesus is doing what he loved to do, sharing a Sabbath meal with strangers and friends. Noticing that people were jockeying for the best spot at the table, Jesus suggests a different approach: humility. Rather than assuming a place of honor, he said, consider the others who might be joining you at the table. The host of the meal will be deciding who should sit in the best place. When I was young, my mother had a set of rules for who sat at her dinner table. She sat at the end of the table that was nearest to the kitchen, my father at the far end of the table facing her. Guests would sit to her immediate left or to my father's immediate left, depending on their gender. She insisted that this was a matter of respect,
but as a child, that practice struck me as rather odd. It seemed to me that the guests ought to be encouraged to sit where they wanted to sit, not where she thought they ought to sit. In our world today, table hierarchy, who sits where at the dinner table, doesn't usually have significant implications. But for the people Jesus addressed, one's place at the table was a matter of far more concern than mere etiquette. Bartering power and marriage contracts could be at stake. Where one sat could have both social and economic implications. Therefore, intentionally sitting in a place of humility would have made a significant statement about the value of the others who were present at the table. Jesus was suggesting that his followers model humility in order to affirm the dignity and importance of others. Jesus continued, suggesting that when sending the invitations for a fancy meal, a bash, if you will, those who cannot repay you ought to be on that invitation list. For those who were present with Jesus at that particular table, those seemingly inconsequential statements would have been truly shocking. I was recently, as many of you know, at a family wedding. When I looked around the room, I recognized the care that had been taken in the seating arrangements. Weddings and political functions are the rare occasions when we see seating arrangements these days. The families of the bride and groom were at the tables closest to the wedding party. We were the first to eat, and we had an unimpeded view of the couple as they celebrated. Clearly, we had been seated in a place of honor. As I looked around that room, I got to thinking about how we offer hospitality as a church, not just at meals, but through all the aspects of our life together. Just a few hours earlier, my children and I had been sitting in a worship space where we had not felt welcome. The wedding was a full Catholic ceremony. The bulletins that were handed out contained the names of those who were involved and the words to a couple of songs. That was it. We weren't given the order of worship for the service, so we couldn't anticipate what was going to happen next. For a well-churched family, and you know, there are a couple of us who are ministers and many who are elders, it felt really awkward. And then, just before communion, the priest clearly stated that any who weren't Catholic were not invited to share the communion meal. Glancing down the pew, I noticed my children's raised eyebrows and shaking heads. Later, in the car, my son David said, "What's the point of a bulletin that doesn't tell you what's coming next?" We had felt excluded. Maria Harris, in the book Fashion Me a People, suggests that everything we do and everything we do not do within the community of faith teaches something. If we say we love children, but we don't provide age-appropriate teaching, which speaks more clearly to somebody who's visiting? An outside banner might state, "All are welcome." But if a person in a wheelchair can't get into the sanctuary, are they truly welcome? Jesus' words about humility and hospitality spoken at the dinner table in Luke's gospel might be well extended well to all the places where we are fed and nurtured as the body of Christ. The church is the place where people ought to find shelter, nurture, and spiritual fellowship. This is the place where everyone should feel protected and cared for and connected to other Christians. If we take Jesus' teaching seriously, we ought to be enacting barrier-breaking hospitality in our lives, both here in this building and out there in our world.
As we embark on a new year of learning here in the church with church schools starting, in our schools with school starting, and through all the tasks of our lives, perhaps we as individuals and as a community might consider how being humble and showing hospitality could impact those around us. We might want to invite new friends to the Fall Festival, providing them the opportunity to connect on a deeper level with this community. Some of you may choose to spend time at a youth event in order to get to know the youth of this church better and to acknowledge their importance to this community. Perhaps we'll listen to that coworker whose ideas have seemed strange or unimportant to us in the past. Maybe it's time to invite that outsider to sit with your group of friends at a lunch table. The way we live here in this place, the way we live out there in our daily lives, teaches those we encounter something about what it means to be a Christian. We are those that understand that God honors all people, that those who are not important in other settings are important to God. Now for that thorny question I brought up earlier, how are we, the body of Christ, in this place, providing protection, care, and connection to those we encounter? I'm not going to claim to have a full answer to that question. Each one of you has a piece of the answer. But I will offer one humble example that I think indicates that we're in the right direction. This summer, more neighbors attended our barbecues on the lawn. Someone on the nurture committee had the brilliant idea and suggested that the church create a banner to hang out front, a physical sign of the welcome we've always intended to share. A number of people stopped by or called the church to ask if we really meant that anyone could come and eat. And the answer is yes. I watched as these strangers became friends. The visitors sat in the little circle of chairs or on the steps to the church or on the grass of the lawn. And as they sat, church members took turns sitting down and talking with them, hearing their stories, sharing with them, answering their questions, modeling the welcome and honor and humility that Jesus' teachings call for. What's the point of being part of a church? This is the place where God's children engage in a lifelong learning, where we practice being disciples, where our practicing and our practices honor and instruct others. That's true of all we do in this place, but it's especially true when we gather around a table, around a meal that we share. May the tables that are set here on the lawn or in the Hope Room or downstairs or here in this sanctuary be tables that humbly welcome, that offer our care and connect us to those that come through the doors into this place. As you approach the communion table this morning, I want you to notice that we have set it using crystal and fine china. This is yet another artistic impression of the heavenly banquet. Here we will gather around the table where the host is Jesus, where all are welcome, and where all are honored. Thanks be to God.
Let us stand and affirm our faith. In life and in death, we belong to God. Through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of Holy Spirit, we trust in the one triune God, the Holy One of Israel, whom alone we worship and serve. We trust in Jesus Christ,
fully human, fully God. Jesus proclaimed the reign of God, preaching good news to the poor and release to the captives, teaching by word and deed and blessing the children, healing the sick and binding up the brokenhearted, eating with outcasts, forgiving sinners, and calling all to repent and believe the gospel. You may be seated. So that this church may continue to be a welcoming body of faith and fellowship, let us bring our offerings and tithes to the Lord. Dear Lord, we dedicate these tithes and offerings to you so that we as a church may continue to do your will, that we may be welcoming, we may provide mission to others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please be seated. Come to this table, you who have much faith, and you who would like to have more. You who have been to this sacrament often, and you who have not been for a long time. You who have tried to follow Jesus, and you who have failed. Come, it is Christ who invites us to meet him here.
Please join with me in the great thanksgiving. May God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Holy God, you alone are holy, you alone are God. The universe declares your praise beyond the stars, beneath the sea, within each cell, with every breath.
Generations, bless your faithfulness through the water, by night and day, across the wilderness, out of exile, into the future.
We give you thanks for your Son, at the heart of human life, near to those who suffer, beside the sinner, among the poor, with us now.
We pray this day for the gift of your Spirit in our gathering upon this bread, within this cup, among your people, throughout our world.
Blessing, praise, and thanks to you, holy and loving God, for your mercy through Jesus Christ, by your Spirit, in your church, without end. Amen.
On the night before he died, Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks, he blessed it and he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Again, after supper, he gave thanks, and he took the cup, and he said, "This the new covenant poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you gather and drink this cup, do so in remembrance of me."
For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the saving death of Jesus Christ until he shall come again.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Holy things for holy people. Come to the table. It has been made ready for you.
Let us bring together our prayer of thanksgiving using the prayer printed in your bulletin. For these gifts of your table, we thank you, O God, for the opportunity to learn and to grow in your spirit, to be enlivened by faith our whole lives long, to be nurtured by communion with you and one another. We praise your holy name. Send us forth in your spirit to love and serve and learn your ways and to bring them to a world in need of hope and joy. In Christ we pray. Amen. Let us join together in our closing hymn, We Are Called, number 2172.
Are called to walk humbly with God, go out into the world, and be God's light to all you encounter this week. And may the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit go with you and abide with you today and always. Amen.